morning so far, and Lord, it's our prayer and our hope that this service has worshiped you, has praised you, and was acceptable in your sight, Father. So thank you for the various people who took their parts this morning. And now as you look to speak to us through Dad, I pray that you would give him boldness to stand upon the firm rock and foundation of your word and to proclaim truth and love. May we be able to look past Dad and see you high and lifted up. Mm-hmm. And may we be drawn closer to you through this service. I ask a special blessing upon Roger and Becky and Philip, Indiana, as they serve you and worship where you've called them. Would you strengthen and encourage them? I also pray that you would move the paperwork through the various bureaucracies that need to happen in order for the Ukrainian family to come here as soon as possible. So, Father, we want to now take this time just to calm our hearts and our minds and to allow you to speak, and that we would be attentive and ready to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. It's good to see each one here this morning again. I'm going to start with a question. What is often sought after, many times prayed for, everyone wishes they had more of, and right away your mind goes to money, I'm not quite done yet, and is only available through our Heavenly Father? There's a wise man. Wisdom. Thank you, Tony. Often sought after, many times prayed for, and everyone wishes they had more of, and only available through God. Thank you, Tony. Wisdom. Reading my Bible in the recent months, and I started paying close attention to the words wise and or wisdom. And I have been praying for wisdom for many years, and I, believe it or not, I continue to do that. I will continue to do that. But I believe wisdom is something everyone needs. Everyone. 2 weeks ago, here on a Sunday morning, Conrad Brubaker shared a message entitled Turning Hearts from Malachi 4:6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. We remember the message, but fathers, we need wisdom. Fathers, we need wisdom to win the hearts of our children and to make wise decisions in our homes each and every day. And yes, the number here come from a Google search, but an average adult will make between 33 and 35,000 decisions every day. And yes, some are very, very small and some are quite large. But I believe everyone, I trust, everyone has the desire to make the right or the correct choice in every decision. And how is this possible? It is only to be filled with godly wisdom. Wisdom is never attained by accident. We must be intentional in pursuing it. Wisdom is never attained by accident. We must be intentional in pursuing it. Look at the opposite for a second. The opposite of a wise person is a foolish person. A person doesn't have the ability or the knowledge to make wise choices. In Matthew 10, a familiar story, we read about the 10 virgins, and the Bible tells us right off the top that 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And the difference between the two groups was that 5 of them actually planned ahead, and 5 of them did not. And the ones that did not were deemed foolish, not to mention the fact that they were also unprepared, is what that is teaching us there. The children sometimes sing the song about two house builders, and both were doing the exact same thing. They were both building a house. The one man started with a shaky foundation, the other one started with a firm foundation, and the one was deemed a foolish man, as he was, and the other was a wise man. In Matthew 2, we read about wise men who travel a long distance looking for Jesus. And one thing we can learn from that this morning is that wise men and women will still seek Jesus today. Another question. Who is the wisest man in the Bible? Right here, Preston, you can. Solomon, thank you. So let's think about Solomon a little bit. At the beginning of Solomon's reign, we know the story well. God comes to Solomon in a dream and says, Solomon, you can ask for whatever you want. And if God would come to you and ask you that question, how would you answer? Well, Solomon answered in 1 Kings 3:9, and he asked God to give him an understanding heart or wisdom to judge the people. He said, God, I need wisdom to be able to discern between good and bad. Then he says, for who is able to judge this by so great a people? Of all that Solomon could have asked for, he said, God, I need wisdom to fulfill my responsibilities. Above all else, God, godly wisdom is what I need. And I think the same applies for each one here this morning today. Above all else, we need wisdom for the decision we're going to make later on today, as well as those that we will be making tomorrow. In verse 10 there, the speech that Solomon gave pleased the Lord because Solomon asked for wisdom. And if you ask God for wisdom today, the Lord will also be pleased with your request. The Lord came back with his reply in verse 12 there in 1 Kings 3. And he telling Solomon, Solomon, behold, I have done according to your words. Lo, I have given you a wise and understanding heart. So there was none like you before, neither shall there be any arise like you afterwards. Solomon said, God, I need wisdom. And the Lord said, I will give that to you. You just notice the blessing that Solomon received. And all he did was what? All he did was ask. So let's learn from Solomon's example as we go through life asking God for wisdom. Wisdom is never attained by accident. We must be intentional in asking God for it. The message title this morning is Wisdom from Above. And there are four points for the message this morning. The definition of wisdom, the source of wisdom, the results of wisdom, and the words of wisdom. So definition, source, results, and words. Let's look at, consider the definition of wisdom first. What is a definition of wisdom? You know, we, like I said, when you're reading your Bibles, you come across this word many times. What does it mean? When we pray for wisdom, what are we actually asking for? Wisdom, godly wisdom, is the ability to view all things from God's perspective and to respond in accordance with scriptural principles. So godly wisdom is the ability to view all things from God's perspective. So first we get to look at things in the right manner and then respond correctly. But what we see here, and this is going to come out over and over today, we need to take our goals, is that a good word? Our will, I should say, and we just set that aside. Because we're going to look at things as from God's perspective. So this is what I want. So when we pray, we're not going to say, God, bring it about through my will. No, we're saying, God, let your will be done. So step number one is, for godly wisdom, we need to quench our will. We need to deny ourself. If we're saying, God, I want what you have, and you promised to give, we'll get there shortly. What we first need to do is take our agenda and set it aside and get rid of that. Then we say, okay, God, I'm going to look at view things from your perspective, and I'm going to respond in accordance to what the Bible teaches. Wisdom is the ability to discern the difference between right and wrong. Black and white, right and wrong. Being able to choose the right way and avoid the wrong. 35,000, let's just round it off at 34,000 decisions a day. And my prayer and my desire is that each one here this morning will make the correct decision. And that is to choose the right and avoid the wrong. And there's right and wrong in most. Not when it comes down to what you're going to wear, but there's right and wrong in a lot of things. Are we the ability to discern the difference between right and wrong? And that's what we're asking God for. We will be here shortly. Wisdom is the ability to make a correct decision in spiritual matters. Now, here's an important one. Spiritual matters. It's not quite as small of a decision of what you're going to eat this morning as what? As a spiritual matter. Where do we go to church? Should we go or should we not? The answer is quite obvious. What does God want for us? What does God have for us? Are we making wise choices? Then there are seven characteristics of godly wisdom. And you can turn to James 3:17 if you wish. I'll read the verse. The wisdom that is from above, which is where the title comes from, is first pure. So we're going to pray just shortly. I mean, hopefully you are. You can pray and ask God for wisdom. And when you do, this is what you are to expect. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. Okay, so we're asking for pure wisdom. Then it's peaceable. Then it's gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So, when you say, God, I need more wisdom, when Solomon said, God, I need wisdom, this is what he was looking for. Here we see what we're to expect when we say, God, I need wisdom. So godly wisdom is first pure. And here we have, this is based upon God's holiness. God is morally blameless and unable to produce evil. That's who God is, and thus he is pure. So to be pure is to be undefiled, to be free from self-interest. Remember we talked a little bit ago? Taking our selfish desires, I can word it that way, and putting that aside. Then we can be pure. We're striving to be Christ-like, right? To be more like Christ, and it starts with denying self, which is directly opposed to what the world is promoting today. You go out in mainstream society, and there you will have a hard time finding someone who will say, you need to deny self. No, that's what Christ is teaching us. If we're going to seek wisdom from him, if we're going to seek godly wisdom, the step number one is take our selfish desire, and to get rid of that. Laying down self, free from ulterior motives, free from emotions and goals, with a clear focus on pure holiness. So if we want to be pure, it starts with that. Then we're going to be peace. Godly wisdom is peaceable. And true peace is a result of purity. When the peace of God follows the purity of God's wisdom into our hearts and lives, it's going to affect those around us. And we will delight in peace. And plus, the next step is we will seek to promote it. Sometimes just to be peaceable is enough. Now here we're going to seek to promote it. We're going to be gentle. Godly wisdom is gentle. Strife, the opposite of gentleness, strife is following the world's wisdom. Fighting back. No, we're going to be gentle. And that's a feature of God's children. And we will be a people who would try to see others one somebody else's point of view as we practice forbearance and forgiveness. This is a result, or this is the definition of godly wisdom. Easy to be entreated. Someone who is open to reason. This does not say you're going to overlook sin and overlook wrongdoing, but you're open to reason. Willing to yield or take instruction. Godly wisdom includes a peacemaking spirit and one who is approachable. You probably dealt with someone in your lifetime who is unapproachable and how difficult that can be. That's not someone who's filled with godly wisdom. We need to be approachable. Full of mercy and good fruit. Godly wisdom will be shown by our deeds and actions. It's going to come forth. People will know who you are. And we'll look at a verse here after a while that says people are going to say, wow, that's a people of wisdom because of their reaction to life. Is that what people say about you? Godly wisdom will be shown by our deeds and actions as we show compassion and pity towards others. Can we see ourselves being filled with this kind of wisdom? We'll be impartial. We're not going to discriminate. Straightforward with undivided and impartial convictions. Are we that kind of people? Sincere. A hypocrite will do one thing but say another, but the wisdom that's from above is sincere and genuine. Are we that kind of people? When you go to God and say, like Solomon did, you know, God, I need some wisdom. This is what we can expect. It's going to change us from the inside out. Those gifted with godly wisdom are able to see the difference between things that are important and things that are not important. Going back to making decisions. Well, I could go here tonight or this afternoon. I could go here. Well, what's most important? And wisdom will help you make that decision. When faced with an overwhelming amount of responsibility, wisdom will allow you to do what really matters most at the moment. Again, decisions. How do we respond? What's the correct way? We go to God and we say, God, I need wisdom for this area today. So we kind of alluded to it. We're going to go to God for wisdom. Point number two, the source of wisdom, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If you're here this morning, you're lacking wisdom, where can we go? What can we look, where can we go to find it? Amazon's not the answer. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So here we have a request and a promise, along with a responsibility, that do we do our part. The promise and one requirement. Just one requirement on our part, similar to what Solomon did, and that is simply ask, and the promises will follow. You need wisdom? Ask of God. And the verse tells us there, who will give to all men. James did not say, if you need wisdom, go to the university or speak with a college professor. No, he said, ask from God. Ask in faith. Ask for wisdom. Wisdom is not primarily acquired from teachers. Wisdom is learned on our knees. When we kneel before God and ask him for wisdom is where we can learn wisdom. And later we think about praying and asking God for wisdom. Later, in James 5, we come to the verse, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Back to James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, get on your knees and ask God, and the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So our responsibility to acquire wisdom is what? To ask God in prayer with faith. And what's going to happen? God's going to hear. God's going to respond when we go to him with our request. According to James 1:5, he will give us the wisdom that we need. Godly wisdom will come from God. He's not going to send us elsewhere. He will give us the wisdom. So if we're asking and expecting wisdom from God, what will we receive? And it goes back to the characteristics of wisdom that we saw in James 3:17. Why? Because it's God's desire that you and I become more and more like him. And God is our source of wisdom, so when we go to him for wisdom, and he imparts some of that to us, we in turn become more like him as we grow in his likeness. So Solomon, back to Solomon, he said, God, give me wisdom, but actually that saying pleased the Lord, because God, Solomon's saying, Lord, I want to be more like you. And that when we go and ask God for wisdom, the same thing is true. God, I'm unable to know how to navigate this section of my life. So we go to him, and he gives us wisdom, and we can properly make proper decisions. So yeah, easy to understand why God was pleased when Solomon asked for wisdom. Beautiful picture. Solomon was seeking to become more and more like God, and the same applies for us today. In Luke 21, Jesus was speaking of the destruction of the temple at Jerusalem, and in the last days when he said in verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. You know, quite a high level of wisdom. No one's going to be able to question what you just said because of your level of wisdom. And Jesus told you and I will give you a mouth. I will give you, well, he gave us one. I will give you the wisdom that you need. I'm sure it happened to you. Sometimes you go through life, you're not quite sure how to answer a certain questions. You know, what is the correct thing to do here? But here Jesus tells us to calm down and ask him. He made us, and he provided the words that he wants us to speak. You remember our study from Colossians in chapter 1, verse 9, Paul wrote, for this cause also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, where? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul's praying for the church. That you might be filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding. James says, if we desire wisdom, we're to go to God, which is correct. Paul here is praying for wisdom for the church, and we too should be praying for those that God would grant them the wisdom to go through what they are facing. The other week, many of you raised your hand, and you said you're praying for Roger and Becky, and I trust you are. They need wisdom as they lead out in the orphanage there in Mexico. Philip and Deanna need wisdom as they minister to the Turkish people in New York City. And you and I need wisdom just to make our decisions each and every day. Do you need wisdom? Ask God. Wisdom is never attained by accident. We must be intentional in asking God for it. And just one more verse on the source of wisdom, and I'm not going to break this verse up. I'll let you dig into it later. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. So parents, I'll let you study that verse on your own. The verse concludes, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You know, you need wisdom. Proverbs says the rod and reproof give wisdom. Let's move on to the third point, the results of wisdom. What are the results of wisdom? Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom. What is the fear of the Lord? This verse says it's the foundation or the beginning of, or the where wisdom starts. So first of all, we recognize that the Lord has all the answers to the questions and the decisions that we will face in life. And we also realize that it's the Lord's desire that we seek him for the correct answers. So we think back up to the source of wisdom. He's all wise, all knowing, and we go to him and ask for that so we can make decisions in life. So he's not only the beginning of wisdom we saw earlier, he's the source of all knowledge and the only one who understands all the mysteries. So he understands everything that we will ever face. So God's a step ahead of us at all times. He knows the decisions that we're going to make, that we have to make, and he knows the answers that we're going to put there. So we need to go to him and seek him for direction. Wisdom brings clarity to confusion. So you take wisdom out of your life and you will have a lot of confusion. You put wisdom back, you put wisdom in, and you will see a lot of clarity. So we need to be fervent in asking God for it. The fear of the Lord is to have a sense of awe and respect for him as a holy one. So when we fear him, we have an awe and respect for him. You know, we're going to place him on the highest spot point in our lives. Are we there? Did we put him there? And then we have an awe and respect for him. So that when he speaks, we view his word as a final authority. So Lord, how do I respond through this? What's the correct answer? So we ask him for wisdom. Then he comes back and says, okay, Leon, do this. And then we view his word, his answer, as a final authority. Everyone who has a holy reverence for God will heed to his instruction. So how is that possible? Well, remember, we denied ourselves. We put that aside. So when we have a holy reverence for God, we're going to follow his instruction. And we will understand our relationship with him. Is it a partial or is it a complete, total submission? Where are we at in our relationship with God? A wise person who is skilled in living in the word will have a right understanding of God's holiness and a reverent submission to his will. Allow me to repeat that. A wise person who is skilled in living in the word of God, which we have our laps this morning, and this is what we read, this is what we govern our lives by, we're going to have, the result is a right understanding of God's holiness. So we recognize who God is, and we have a holy reverent fear of him. Also, we will be submissive to his will. So a key result of wisdom is seeking and accepting God's will. And I said it 5 times, here's number 6. We need to deny self. This is not what I want. This is what God wants. This is not what I want. This is what God's want. The fear of the Lord is a continual submission to God in humility and true faith. God, it's not what I want. It's what you want. So the fear is not the fear that a child will have going outside after dark when alone. but rather a reverent fear and utter respect to the favor, in favor to the will of God. Don't raise your hand, but are you here this morning and said, absolutely, whatever God wants, I want. That's where we should be. God, it's not about me, it's about you. And that's what we should be saying. But too often, myself, we want, well, this is what's going to happen. This is what I want to happen. No, it's not that. It's what God wants for my life. What God wants for your life. So the thought of denying self continues to be a top priority in our pursuit of wisdom. If we're going to seek wisdom from God, complete surrender and submission to his will is required. So don't go to God and say, God, I need wisdom because this is how I want to do things. No, it's not that way. It's God, I need wisdom because I want your will and your way as I go through this. Just willing to give it all to God. Not trying to go to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, follow my way here, but rather submitting to his will. So in Proverbs 9:10, we see the words wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We see wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and they kind of combine to a certain degree. But wisdom has to do with a right apprehension of God and God's truth, a proper understanding of God in his word and way. So do we have a proper understanding of God's word? We do, it's on our laps, but his way. If we want to find his way, we need to seek him, as we see in James 1:5. Knowledge is facts, information, and skills acquired by a person through education or experience. You get knowledge of certain things. Knowledge is also having information about a wealth of facts about the universe. And what's understanding then has to do with the correct use of knowledge. So we get wisdom. Along with that comes knowledge. Proper use of that will give us understanding. So someone, you may have a doctor's degree from a top university, yet still lack basic information about human nature and events that happen around us. On the other hand, a wise person is one who receives godly wisdom from God, has a holy awe and respect for him, attains knowledge, and is able to properly apply it, revealing understanding. Back to that verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And it all goes back to the source, which is God and God alone. It's just a beautiful picture. The book of Proverbs, written by Solomon, is to communicate wisdom. To communicate wisdom. When you read through the book of Proverbs, you quickly notice how the writer contrasts wisdom and folly. Wisdom is godly conduct, and folly is wickedness. So people can have a vast amount of knowledge about, let's say, nature or history or art, and the list could go on, but still be considered a fool in God's eyes. So Proverbs encourages us to seek wisdom from God. Why? So we can be able to discern between good and evil. And I think that's something that we face every day, good and evil. What is the correct way? What should I do in this situation? Job 28:28. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So do you have a holy awe and respect for God? Are you serving him with humility and submission? And if you can say, yes, I am, that is wisdom. The verse goes on, and to depart from evil is understanding. Earlier I said understanding has to do with the correct use of knowledge, but here it says, Job says, to depart from evil is understanding. You heard long time ago, there's two roads, the broad road and the straight and narrow. The pure way and the evil way. And the question this morning is, where are we traveling? What road are we on? Are we departing from evil? One who has a holy fear of the Lord is considered a wise person. So you have a holy fear of the Lord, you're considered a wise person, and you will know how to conduct your lives in obedience to the will of God. A lot of wisdom is based on putting our desire aside and obediently following the Lord. So first, we ask wisdom from God, who is all wise, and through the wisdom that he has promised to give us, we're able to discern, to depart, and to avoid evil. And the result of that wisdom will lead us on the path of holiness, on the straight and narrow way. Again, go back to the source. It all comes from God. Are we looking to him for the wisdom that we need? In Deuteronomy 4, Moses told the children of Israel, he said, I taught you the commandments of God. And if you go back, and we talked about this morning a little bit in our Sunday school lesson, Moses there for a couple minutes. But Moses told his children, you know, guys, I taught you the commandments. And this is what he said in verse 6, referring back to the commandments of God. Keep therefore and do them. So from a child, we have been taught what is right and what is wrong. We come to church, we learn the commandments of God. This is what happened back to the children of Israel. And Moses said, I taught you the commandments. He said, keep them and do them. The verse continues, for this is your wisdom. There we see another definition for wisdom. It's obedience to the commandments of God. We know the commandments of God. Are we applying them to our hearts? Are we obedient to them? The verse continues. I should back up and start over. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding. Beautiful verse. Obedience to God's word will show you have wisdom and godly understanding. It continues. In the sight of the nations who so hear of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Godly wisdom will confound those who are unwise. And they're going to stand back and say, wow, look at that group from Myerstown. They have godly wisdom. Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Keeping the commandments of God reveals wisdom and understanding. And the people are going to say, where did this come from? And you can go back to James 1:5 and say, you want wisdom? Ask of God. So we see obedience is wisdom. The result of wisdom generally refers to one who has a quality of spiritual discernment. Godly wisdom combined with godly understanding. And both are acquired from God. And the question is this morning, are we asking God for it? Are we asking God for it? James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. One who is considered wise will have the ability to see what is right, along with the courage to act accordingly. Don't raise your hand, but how many times did you know what was right and made a decision to do what was not right? But here we see, if you're considered wise, you have the ability to see what is right, along with the courage to act accordingly. I know what's right, but I'd rather do that. But no, I have the courage to do what is right because I know that's what God will want me to do. One Jewish girl had become a Christian, had to decide between a large inheritance and her relationship with Jesus Christ. Come back to decisions here and wisdom. When her father died, he left her $450,000 on the condition that she could have that if she gave up her faith in Christ. If she would not give up her faith, she would receive $5. The young woman made the decision to remain faithful to the Lord and forego the large amount of inheritance money. It cost her a fortune, but she was willing to remain true to her faith in Jesus Christ. And the question is, was she wise or would some consider her foolish? And we know the answer. There's some things that money, a lot of things that money simply cannot purchase. The wise Christian will display a life of integrity marked by a beautiful, noble conduct. The result of wisdom will be a full and abundant life. And that Jewish girl had it as well in the absence of a lot of money. Another result of wisdom is knowing the value of it. Do we know the value of wisdom? Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 9. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. neither decline from the words of her mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Wisdom is what? Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is a principal thing. The first in place and time or rank and order. Wisdom is a principal thing. Exalt her, prize her, and wisdom will honor you if you embrace her. With all that getting, get understanding. Are we seeking for wisdom? Are we asking God for wisdom? And the result of wisdom is what? The desire for more wisdom. As we do what? Go closer and closer to the heart of God. Another value of wisdom is described in Proverbs 3:13 through 15. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Verse 15, she, or wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. I never held a ruby, maybe you have, but a ruby is basically deemed as worthless when it comes to the value of wisdom. Are we valuing wisdom? Are we seeking for wisdom? Mentioned earlier this morning that we place Jesus Christ on the highest place in our hearts and lives, as we sing sometimes, and we need to place the value of wisdom above all things. The result of wisdom is placing a high value on it. Wisdom is never attained by accident. We must be intentional in asking God for it. Do we value wisdom? And are we asking God for it? Point number four, the words of wisdom. You know, we heard Solomon was the wisest man in the Bible. He knew the value of wisdom. Solomon, we know, is the author of the Proverbs, most of the Proverbs. Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes 10:12, Solomon wrote, "The words of a wise man's mouth are," and can somebody tell me the next word? The words of a wise man's mouth are. I purposely saved the best for last. When I think about the words of wisdom, you know, we could have added this to the result. This verse would fit well in the results. But I told you I was looking for these words, wise and wisdom, when reading through my Bible. And I come to this verse. And we might have 33 to 35,000 decisions we make every day. I didn't check how many words we say every day. We have things that we can put on, see how many steps we take, how many miles we walk. I'm not sure if we can put a gadget on here, see how many words we say. Mine would be too many. But Solomon said this, and the young man said, Solomon was a wise man, correct, Preston? That's right. And Solomon said, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. And you wonder why I told you way back when I started looking for these words, wise and wisdom, when I'm reading the Bible. And I come across this verse and it just kind of put my whole life in park almost. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. The verse continues, but the lips of a fool will swallow himself up, will swallow up himself. And ladies, I'm talking about man a lot. I'm using the word man, and I believe this falls in with man or a woman. Don't get me wrong. The words of a wise woman's mouth are gracious. Amen. Hallelujah. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. I'm not going to ask you to think, well, you can. Think back over the last week, how many words you said last week that were not gracious. I said some yesterday that just the tone was wrong. The words I said weren't even wrong, but the tone was wrong. So I failed yesterday. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. We teach our children to be careful with what they say. And we illustrate it sometimes Sunday mornings in children's meeting with that toothpaste. You remember that? You squeeze it out, then you say, okay, children, stuff it back in. Impossible. And the children get a point. What about us adults? The point should be well for us as well. Solomon tells us that a wise man will have no need to take back the words that he said. Why? Because his words are going to be gracious. When tempted to say something you might later wish you could stuff back in the toothpaste tube, remember, the words of your wise man's mouth are gracious. Gracious, courteous, defined as courteous, kind, pleasant, well-favored, acceptable, and useful. And it's not in my notes, but I'll add the word ouch. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Every word from a wise man is decent and orderly, credible to himself and acceptable to those who hear him. Our character, our attitude, and who people say we are is most times a result of the words we say or the words we do not say. You ever hear the saying, you are who you say you are? Unfortunately, it's the truth. You are who you say you are. And most, you probably have been told, you need to think three times before you speak. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Let's add the fourth time. Are the words I'm about to say gracious words? The words of a wise man are gracious. Three quotes and a few verses to wrap it up. Wise men, when in doubt whether to speak or to keep quiet, give themselves the benefit of the doubt and remain silent. He who provides for his life but takes no care for eternity is wise for a moment, but a fool forever. Spurgeon, the doorstep to the temple of wisdom is knowledge of our own ignorance. The doorstep to the temple of wisdom. As you step across the threshold into the temple of wisdom is knowledge of our own ignorance. Why did I say seven times we need to deny self, put our selfish desires to rest, deny them? Because that is where wisdom begins. Proverbs 31:26. Now we're in Proverbs 31, and you know exactly where we're headed. The virtuous woman, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Proverbs 1:33, speaking of wisdom, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. A verse I read this morning, Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. The end of the verse is this, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. I'd like to read a verse from James. We were in James 3 earlier. I read verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. James 3:13. Who, it's a question, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Question mark. Who is this person? What kind of person is he? Let him show out of his good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. I don't believe you can hide a wise man. I think that you will see them. As we just read, he might be the quiet one, I'm not sure. But as we also see, he will have words of wisdom as well. Godly wisdom is from above. God is the source of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And a wise man will speak gracious words. Wisdom is something everyone needs. Let's be intentional in asking God for it. Let's pause for prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning. We say thank you, Jesus, for your word again. And Lord, I pray for wisdom as we navigate through life in this world today. I pray for each one this morning that they would seek you for wisdom and they would desire that godly wisdom. I pray, Lord, that we could use the wisdom that we gain from you to make correct decisions, to avoid all evil, and to walk on the straight and narrow way. Lord, I pray for forgiveness where we have failed in decisions and in words. Help us, Lord, to recognize that the words of a wise man and a wise woman are gracious. Lord, may we be that kind of people. Again, Lord, now I just pray for wisdom for each one, that you just be with us, give us wisdom and direction. And Lord, may the decisions that we make in life be ones that you want us to make. And when we come to a crossroad in life, help us just to pause, calm down, seek your wisdom, your direction for where we need to go, and then make the correct choice. Lord, may we follow you faithfully and give you our everything and our all. In your name we pray. Amen. Damien, we have a song, please.